Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha, Laugh, Funny.
Mention It All. A Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, bro?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. And it's Podcast Friday.
It's Podcast Friday, actual Thursday, and we have Ultimate Girls Trip to talk about. Very exciting. I have a little... I just saw like 10 minutes before we were about to record, Peacock decided to drop episode 4 already. because apparently there's no schedule, which I'm fine with. I love, you know, more episodes to watch. We're going to talk about
it. Yeah, but it's a bit frantic.
I know. Like, yeah. So we're going to talk about the first 3 today. We'll talk about more later. And we have Winterhouse and a very fun interview with Andrea from Winterhouse that we did yesterday. It was fun to chat with him. I wasn't sure what to expect. You know, I felt like he brought a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of clarity to some of his, you know, actions in the winter house.
Yes, he's a very, very sweet man.
He does. Yeah.
I liked
talking
to him a lot. And if you just listen to him talk, close your eyes and listen to him talk, it's just so romantic, everything he says.
I don't know if romantic is the word I would use.
It's the accent. So dreamy.
Yeah, so stay tuned for Andrea's romantic accent. But Girls Trip, I'm just so excited that it's finally here. And I think all of us were obviously excited at the idea of an All-Stars kind of show. Mm-hmm. But of course, you just don't know what to expect and what the, you know, when you see who's in the cast, it's like, okay, I love Teresa, okay, Melissa, Kenya, fun, like a fun group, but you don't know what's actually going to be the vibe until you see it. And I have to say, I'm not surprised because I thought I was going to enjoy it, but I think I'm enjoying it even more than I sort of expected to, because it just is, I think we underestimate how nice it is to just see these women kind of living their best lives and doing their thing. And I don't know, it just feels fun and relaxed, but also there's drama and
yeah,
I just love it.
I wasn't gonna not like the show, but I didn't think I was gonna like it as much as I do. And I even had a thought, I was like, oh my God, what if this show is so good that their next seasons are like a different batch? Like they do different like women each season. And I was like, that could be kind of fun. But I love
that. Well, they already filmed season 2.
I literally didn't know that.
Yes, you did. They filmed at Dorinda's house in the Berkshires.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yes, I didn't know that. I was like, wait, what?
We talked about
this. I was like, wait, in Turks and Caicos? Okay.
No, just a different scene.
Yeah. But I thank you so much for that clarity. Wow.
I'm like, Barry, I know we've spoken about this.
Yeah, no, we're good. I also love this show, how they played each of the women's own franchise music in the beginning. I love the music in general on this show.
Housewives in the Islands!
It's so good. I don't know. They all, and the drama's not like that petty. It's almost like they knew. They're like, let's just throw in Ramona because she's an absolute lunatic and see how the women react.
I think this is actually kind of a great cast because you have
people like Cynthia, Melissa, Kyle, who aren't really that likely to be, you know, getting messy and causing drama. Mm-hmm. And then you have Ramona, Teresa, Kenya, who are a little bit more willing to sort of have a bone to pick with someone, or to, you know, in Ramona's case, to just be the worst and to make people pick a bone with her.
I texted I'm serious. Like, you actually don't think that this woman could get any worse? And you're just like, holy shit. How? Where does she come up with this stuff? What is happening?
Yeah, the thing with Ramona is that obviously there are certain times where she'll say something really offensive or she'll do something that's specifically really bad. And that is bad enough. But then you see her in her more kind of casual interactions, and she's just as bad in all of those little moments too. The fact that she, you know, is saying something crazy to the guy that was taking their picture.
Yeah, the general manager.
Right, and she's like saying something like problematic to him. Calling Kenya Portia multiple times is just
leaving Luann's story because she knows what happened already.
Oh my god, it's every single opportunity. It's like she can't have one full interaction without making some faux pas, and it's.
Luann literally said she's always embarrassed by Ramona, that she's not even fazed by it anymore. Like, she doesn't even know that she can do anything different because
there's not enough lip gloss in the world to cover up her rudeness. She's like, who wants some lip gloss? It's like, Ramona, stop it.
I can't. But like,
I did love on the plane there when Ramona starts talking about how New York put Housewives on the map.
Yeah, she didn't know about the OC.
Well, nobody cared about OC, according to her. And then Roni right away was a cool water show. And, you know, it was in the Wall Street Journal, Daily News, first week. And I loved that all of these women, you know, Ramona maybe is the most insufferable of all of them, but they all are a little, they all like themselves. And right away, Cynthia is like, well, you never been rated number one. And then Kyle in her interview is like, Beverly Hills has the top ratings. And Teresa's like, I invented table flipping. Like, all of these women have egos. And it's so fun to see them kind of be able to talk freely about their shows. And I think this is an aspect of Girls Trip that people have really been enjoying, is that there is no fourth wall.
Right.
They're constantly talking about their various experiences on their shows. And I think that's something where I don't necessarily want the regular Housewives shows to be like that, because I think it is a different thing. But on this, in this experience, it is cool to see these women who have shared experiences but have been on different shows to come together and to be able to really bond over that. And for, you know, for them to be talking about the Melissa and Teresa thing, of all of that, of how Melissa joined the show, and, you know, Luann talking about her divorce and Kenya talking about her relationship issues and all of that stuff. Like, they all have so much that they can relate to each other over. And, you know, it is a pretty unique position to be in, where all of them have been on these TV shows for like 10 years. And I love just seeing them have those interactions. Like, when Teresa and Cynthia went on that walk and, you know, Teresa was talking about splitting up with Joe and how she never thought she would get divorced and she felt nothing when she saw him in Italy. Like, I don't know. We just have been through so much with these women, and to see them have a chance to kind of unpack it is really satisfying.
Yeah, I personally have never liked Kenya more than on this show. I feel like we are almost seeing a different side of her. And I love how she is with all the women. And also that she is kind of breaking away from Cynthia a little bit, mm-hmm. and like making her own friendships. Also, like what you just said about Teresa, like I think I can speak for literally everyone when I say this, we have never seen her this open or vulnerable ever than when she was on that walk with Cynthia. And that just shows that, like, she actually really trusts someone and is like finally ready to just like talk about what happened. And I really liked seeing that side of Teresa. But, you know, we have their typical, each of them have their own theme nights. Like they each host their own activity.
It's kind of fun. I like it. The Bailey Q.
I want to ask you how you feel about this Bailey Q. Was she overreacting?
First of all, I agree with you about Kenya sort of like mixing it up with the other women. Yeah. I feel like Atlanta is so popular on its own, but I feel like they don't always mingle as much with the other franchises.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to see like Kenya and Melissa bonding like that, and you know, Kyle and Kenya, all of that. I love that dynamic. But back to the Bailey Q. You know, I do think Cynthia was overreacting a little bit. She says this, but she expected Kenya to be basically her buddy throughout this experience. And I think for both of them, they're bonding with people that they maybe didn't realize they were going to bond with before they came. But I think Cynthia is like having a little more trouble processing that, when at the same time it's like, okay, well, you went off on this walk with Teresa, so you know, Kenya doesn't have that same bond with Teresa, just like you don't have the same bond with Melissa that Kenya has. And I do think, like, I think it was, you know, Kenya was not very considerate about Cynthia's event. I think that was the bigger issue.
Her being late was rude, obviously.
Her being an hour late, her not apologizing, her grabbing the food when everybody else had waited for her to eat. That, I mean, it's just like kind of classic Kenya. But I did think it was a little bit like, okay, by the next day when Kyle has apologized multiple times, like, let's move on. It's not that deep. And also, at the end of the day, everybody participated.
Right. And I thought Kyle's reasoning was absolutely fine.
Well, and Cynthia, I think, is making kind of a big deal out of the fact, like, everybody was uncomfortable and I wanted everybody to be comfortable, so I switched around the game 50 times, and it's like, it's not that, like,
this game should be produced, like, into an app and sold.
Right, like, you're not playing, like, the game of life. Like, there's, like, two rules to the game. It's not that difficult.
But then the next day when Kenya came back from her court date, I'm not sure. Cynthia, that was so petty when she was like, well, she didn't care about my feelings the night before, so I don't care about that. And I was like, Cynthia, it's very, very, very different scenarios here.
it feels unlike Cynthia that she is kind of like holding this grudge against Kenya. And then, you know, it kind of gets exacerbated later in the night when they're talking about pageant stuff. And I mean, to Cynthia's credit, Kenya is interrupting her nine times
in a
row.
She's literally acting as if she's not even at the table. No one's speaking next to her.
Cynthia's like, and then I was when I was in Miss USA.
I really like the Housewives After Dark little segment that they have on the show, too. After the night out, they have a confessional, like, we're in the real world. Like, it's pretty awesome.
I do think it's fun that they have, like, a diary room in the house. That is a fun touch. And that's something that you would never have on a normal Housewives show. It wouldn't really work. That's not what the format is. But it's fun. I like that they are making choices like that and the fourth wall to really make it feel like something different than... because when they first announced that they were doing this, there was the question of, are they going to pretend that it's like, oh, well, Kyle's friends with Melissa, and so Melissa got Teresa, and Teresa called Ramona, like, or were they going to say, it's seven housewives going on a trip? And I'm so glad that they went with this route of not having the fourth wall, of not pretending that it's just girls on vacation together, because I think that would have been... like less fun.
Oh, wait, you're married to her brother? I get it.
Ramona told Luann, and Luann's friends with Cynthia, so Cynthia invited Kenya. Like, that would have been, they could have done it like that, and I'm sure it would have still been watchable. But
this is better.
Yeah, and I think so many, in the first three episodes, so many of the best moments have been about them talking about their shows and sharing those kind of moments. And that wouldn't have happened if they tried to make it like more, you know, within the world of Housewives.
Right. This villa, I'm not sure if it's the villa specifically, but the conch shack only reminds me of Kim Zolciak and her family, because that is just like she put that on the map. But
oh, did they go there?
This villa, I'm pretty sure, is where her and her family stayed. Or one that like looks exactly like it. So I can't see anything else besides
that. The Triton
that.
Villa.
Yeah, it's very... We love Michael. We love Michael. He's great. He's a great concierge.
I love that Luann wants to fuck Michael.
Yeah, it's like you won't know. Okay, here's the problem I have with that. You actually are aware that he's married. So it's like weird that you like ended up flashing him and like hugged. Yeah. Like that was a little distasteful.
And Ramona wants to fuck whatever his name is. John. That owns the contract. John.
And then John, like, is that flirting? Is she flirting?
John's apparently like a volleyball expert, so he has to come help them with that too. It's like, Ramona, get a grip. She's 20 minutes late to tennis, even though tennis is at the house.
She gave them her last 20 minutes because she needs 40 minutes straight of exercise. Mm-hmm. And that was nice of her. She said, if you want to set it up, you call the concierge. She's so, oh my God, I cannot. I can't. Kenya was like, what was she raised by, a pack of wolves? Like, seriously.
I will say, I feel like this is a really nice send off for Cynthia, because she's not going to be on next season of Atlanta. I feel like this is a good note for her to sort of exit on, at least for now. And I feel like, depending what happens with New York, I feel like this is kind of a fitting note for Ramona to potentially exit on, because it's absolutely like, yep, she's the worst.
Yes. I have to say, though, I think Cynthia and Kenya's real life friendship was actually affected by this show, unfortunately.
I agree. Yeah. It doesn't. Well, and I think it's not unusual that we see, if two people are close and one of them is, you know, no longer on the show and the other one is, I think it is hard for friendships to kind of last through that, because whether or not it's one person's fault or anybody did anything wrong, it's, you know, it's just tough. And I know there were, you know, like, things that happened like that with OC, and it's happened in Beverly Hills. Like, I think it's just, it's tough to, even if you know deep down that it's not that person's fault, it's like, okay, well, they're off doing their thing for the show and I'm not invited because I'm no longer on the show. And even if that doesn't automatically mean we're not friends anymore, it feels like I've been cast out from the friend group, even if it's officially a work thing.
Right. But all right, well, I'm excited to watch episode 4.
I know. Now we got to watch episode 4. Like, maybe because so next week we're not going to be doing a Thursday episode because it's Thanksgiving. Maybe we can talk about episode 4 on like Tuesday.
I'm also assuming between now and then that they will also drop episode 5 or more.
They're not supposed to. The episodes are supposed to be dropping weekly. Well, so
they haven't followed the rules thus far.
Let's just say whatever episodes are out, we'll talk about those on Tuesday's
podcast. Okay, so follow along with us, peeps.
But definitely we're enjoying and can't wait to see more. I'm loving seeing all these women together.
I know, and I really want to book a vacation. Like, I might look into the Triton Villa.
I don't know if I can afford the Triton Villa.
By myself?
Something
imagine.
In Turks you could make happen.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology, so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Okay, so from one group of people stuck in a house to another.
And weather extreme.
Yeah. Let's go to Winterhouse. This episode features skiing. It features log throwing. We're really just keeping up with the outdoorsy theme.
First ever Nordic Games.
The Viking theme was kind of fun. I appreciated that more than whatever femme fatale thing they did on Vanderpump Rules this
totally
week.
I was actually laughing. They all looked ridiculous in their makeup, and I couldn't stop staring at Kyle's eyes. Like, they looked like Kiss. The band Kiss was dressing up for Halloween as something else.
It was hilarious to me when Kyle literally met his parents on the ski slope. I thought they were going to meet them like at the lodge, or, you know, they were going to meet in the parking lot, but literally they just like ski up to his parents and they're there.
That. It's
like, okay.
So yay. Much. Yeah. Because, like they made that almost like not a storyline, but Amanda was like, yeah, like they were like, you have to marry someone that is like a skier. And she was like, and I'm not. So like, I didn't know. And I was like, I think you're okay. They like showed the old school pictures of his grandparents and parents like skiing down the slopes, like being Olympians. Mm-hmm. I wish.
Yeah, no, I felt like I could relate. I mean, not like, I'm not like marrying someone, but obviously I feel what? Amanda's pain of like, oh fuck, now I have to ski. It's like, when people are like, I don't want to marry into a family who does like a 5K on Thanksgiving.
Wait, but what are you relating? Like, what aspect of that are you relating to?
No, I guess I was saying I can't relate, but like, that sounds horrible.
Right. Okay. Agree.
I can relate in theory.
Okay. Noted. I was like, what? We see a different side of, I know this isn't going to be a like, we love Andrea episode, but like him and Paige talk. And I think it was a great talk that they had. They kind of are now on the same page. How many times can we say that?
Well, he says it too. I think actually, so like when we did our interview with him yesterday, I think a lot of the stuff that they talked about in this conversation really match up with what we were talking about yesterday, which you'll hear in like 10 minutes. So I do feel, you know, we were talking in our interview about how he doesn't feel like he's a douche and he doesn't think that. I think basically, you know, there was kind of this connotation that he was like playing Paige, and I think this conversation sort of clarified where they stand. And while I think Paige still is being a little bit idealistic about where this relationship might be going, I don't think he's leading her on really at all. I think he's, you know, he's being upfront that he enjoys spending time with her, but doesn't know if he wants anything more. And I think she's kind of taking that, I don't know, and running with it a little bit. But I don't think I think they are communicating clearly.
Yeah. And one thing that I found very interesting that he said was that I even like asked him again, he does watch the episodes, and a lot of people we've talked to and even know in general don't watch their own shows. So I guess also watching that back and seeing it from a different perspective, you're like, oh, wait, I should have said this. Like I should have been more open about that. But you live and you learn with this being on a reality show, you know?
I love seeing Lindsay and Jason hitting it off.
Handsy hubsy. I don't know what's going on with that. Like, I feel like we only see from the camera in his room. Like, that's it.
I know. Like, they're obviously, like, they're not going on a date or anything. I feel like Lindsay just loves the fact that he's nice and he can cook.
I love when she whispers and she's like, I want to bring him to my apartment in New York.
I do feel like, I say this with the utmost respect for Lindsay Hubbard because I do love her. But I don't think Jason could handle her.
I agree.
It feels like she could eat him for lunch. And like, he's a very nice man. I think he's very attractive. Mm-hmm. It just feels like he's a little too, like, gentle for Lindsay. I don't know.
This is a crossover that I'm just going to manifest, but I kind of want to see Lindsay as the Bachelorette. I feel
a hubby that, for Hubsy.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh. Shall we pitch it? She needs like a group of men and she needs to see all the different options and personalities and like put people in place and like see what she wants. And I just like, wow. I can see this happening.
You know what? It's funny because I feel like on The Bachelorette, the women are always like, stop fighting. Like, I don't want you to have drama. Like, pay attention to me. And I feel like she would be like,
round one.
She would be like, fight as much as you want, as long as you're fighting over me. She'd be like, I agree. Do you want me? Fight. Oh my God, that would be...
I know.
That would be fun. If Bravo can do a dating show for Shep Rose, they can do a dating show for Lindsay Hubbard. Let's just say it. Make it happen.
The more, though, that like we are talking about this, I'm like, geez. I wonder if she's thought of that at all.
Well, The Bachelor is not, you know, they're not on the same network.
No. Nope.
So I don't know that Lindsay would do The Bachelor, but Bravo, make it happen. Find love for Lindsay. Love for Linz. A hub for hubs.
Oh my God. I think we're even getting a name. This is fantastic. Let's move on to a different couple.
A fireball shot at love with Lindsay Hubbard. Oh my God.
They drink more fireball. Like they actually do drink fireball like it's water and it grosses me out.
I know. So then the other kind of major development is with Sierra and Austin. They're still getting closer. You know, things are going well. Sierra tells the other women that she could see herself falling in love with Austin. And then things, there's a little wrench thrown into things when Austin gets, you know, he gets this message that Madison is in the hospital. And so he unblocks her on social media and has a message from her that she had a seizure while she was with her son and he had to call, you know, for help and she's in the hospital and that this has basically like thrown his feelings into chaos because he hasn't talked to her in a while.
And he answered her. He answered, which I think is like, he said, are you okay? Like, I think that was a nice thing.
I think opinions seem to vary in the house. You know, Andrea's kind of like, you just ignore the message. And it's like, well, I mean,
Craig?
I think obviously everybody has their different ways of dealing with exes and with, you know, people who have been toxic in their lives. And I think different strategies work for different people. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with him replying to her message.
Right.
But at the same time, he clearly is still in some place with her where something like this is gonna like fuck him up. And you know, we see at the very end of the episode he's telling Sierra about it and it's like, I don't know how this is gonna go, because it feels like Sierra is gonna view this as like, you're talking to your ex, when I don't think it's really like that. But
yeah, I first of all thought it was hilarious that these three guys, which they've grouped themselves like frat brothers, are like making a plan and they were like, all right, let's go. And they like went to the rest of the house. Like, and Craig like solved it. He's like, don't say it. But Craig dislikes Madison more than anyone on this planet. So of course he's going to like give opposite. But I think he was actually right in the fact that he was like, because he's like rooting for him and Sierra. But at the same time, I know everyone hates, likes to hate on Austin, but I think he like, he actually truly doesn't want to hurt Sierra. Like he likes her. Not as much maybe as Sierra likes him, but I feel like he's like really figuring out how to handle this because he does, he does like her. He's like, I have a girl, like she's beautiful. I don't want to hurt her, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I really do love Austin. You know that.
Right. And I think he is, you know, he's thinking like, I don't want to seem too upset about what's happening with my ex because then it looks like I am like more invested in my ex. But at the same time, there is all this baggage with Madison.
And it's a valid reason to be worried.
Right. And I think for Sierra, it's like, okay, I'm, you know, they've been hanging out for a week, you know, 10 days, whatever. It's not been that long. So if this guy is like in here crying about his ex, maybe I don't really want to get more involved than I already am. So yeah, there's kind of like a little balancing act going on. And I guess we'll see on the season finale next week. I really do feel like, I mean, as much as we complain about like reunions being long and all of this stuff, I feel like they could have made this like 8 episodes instead of 6.
I agree. Because it happened. I feel like we're like, there's one episode that should be, one more episode that should be between now and the finale. Like we're 6 just going to wrap it up.
Is so short.
I know.
I feel like any show could be like, you know, I always, when they do like a first season, I think the first season of Family Karma was only 6 episodes, or maybe it was 7 or 8. But like, it always just feels so short. And it's like, if we can do like 20 episodes of a Housewives season, we could do 8 or 9 of this.
Yes, I agree. I just have 1 ounce of advice because this has happened too frequently on these shows. But like, and I know it's not their priority in the moment, but when they're having a serious conversation and stuff, like they need to take off like whatever costume makeup that they're wearing because I cannot take it seriously.
That's what gives you iconic moments. Like one of my favorite screenshots is from OC a couple seasons ago when they had that like Versailles party and there it's like Vicky and Shannon and Tamara like sitting in the back of a car in their like Marie Antoinette costumes just looking like fucking wrecked. It, you know,
nothing beats the battered wife though.
Tom.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Tom Schwartz in the drag with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. There's nothing better.
Yeah, but Austin's hair is in like a, no, Luke's hair was in a pony. They were all yelling and screaming with drumsticks. Like, I felt like they were at like, no, it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. Don't take off the makeup before having your emotional conversations. If you're on a Bravo show and you're listening now, don't you dare. Don't go anywhere because we are going to be right back with our interview with Andrea. Enjoy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, welcome back. We are now joined by one of our favorite new Bravo celebrities. It's Andrea from Winterhouse. Hello, Andrea. Thanks for joining us.
Hey guys, thank you for having me.
Of course.
We are loving Winterhouse, I think, as is everyone else who likes likes these kind of things. Yes. How are you feeling? The season is like a little over halfway, I think. It's, you know, it's we're so really into We're into the thick of it. How are you feeling, you know, now that the show is out there in the world?
I'm feeling okay. Nothing has changed. It's interesting to watch for me. I've been having also fun watching it. So
you watch every week?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been watching every week. And, you know, I'm liking it.
When you were there, did it feel like you were in that house for a long time? Like by the end of the 17 days or whatever it was it kind of like, okay, it's time to go?
No, actually I was totally fine. I could have stayed there a month. I was the most sober of the group, actually. And you know, I was working out every day, so it felt great. Like, you know, I was
on a retreat.
Yeah, I was having fun, you know, I was like laughing a lot, having a good time. So it wasn't like too intense for me. I had a great time, I gotta say.
Can you tell us how you first got involved on the show?
Yeah, basically nothing. Like me, Julia and Gabby have been friends for many years, and you know, like Julia and I, we know each other from 2015 because of modeling and stuff. Air agent are really good friends of mine. So that's how we met, like, in 2015. And so she called me, and I was in Italy. And I was stuck in Italy for a year because of the pandemic.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was there for work. And when the pandemic happened, I got stuck. So it was an interesting year, 2020. To be honest with you, if I look back at it, it was a good year. I mean, it was bad because, you know, everything that happened. But at the same time, you know, it was nice after so many years to be close to to spend time with my friends, to be with my parents all the time. Because, you know, even if I have my own place there, you know, I was going there every day to have lunch with them. So it was, you know, I want to see the positive side of everything. And so she told me, and I was like, I'm ready to be back. Like,
how do I get out of Italy?
Yeah, and you know, like fix my situation with documents and stuff, and you know, I got on a flight, and then I got back to New York. And so I was really excited, and also it was exciting on one eye because it was the first time after 2 years basically that I was single. And, you know, like, I was ready to have fun.
Yeah. So had you watched any of Southern Charm or Summer House before coming on the show? Like, did you know who the people were that you were joining?
To be honest with you, I didn't.
I can't say I'm that surprised. I can't say I'm that surprised that, like, you didn't watch the shows.
No, I honestly never watched, like, much of reality TV in general. I watch, like, you know, in Italy, like, the Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother is a big deal, you know, like, I've been watching and I took part of that, but I never watched too much American reality TV shows, especially because in Italy, like, they didn't, like, broadcast them, as much, only a few. So I wasn't really familiar with any other people, even though I knew, like, you know, I knew about Paige.
Okay.
Because we have some friends in common. So I, even though we never, like, spoke before, like, I knew about her. And then I knew about Craig and Austin, and, you know, I was a little bit intimidated at first because, you know, they have this big, like, you know, persona, like, you know, they remind me of, like, the fraternity boys from, like, the American comedies that I grew up with. And at the end of the day, actually, we bond so much. Like, we became super close. I also decided to go spending my birthday with them in Charleston. And, you know, that was, like, one of the best surprises. Even last week when Andy asked me, it was surprising the most. I was like, you know, Austin, like, was a great surprise.
Yeah.
And you, Craig, the same way, and nothing. So, like, I didn't know what to expect, and but I had a lot of fun.
I feel like Craig and Austin, no matter what, they just want to have a good time. So if you're coming into the house bringing the good time vibes, they're gonna be on the same page with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I felt the same. But, you know, I can say the same with Kyle, you know, like him and I, we became really good friends. We live in the same neighborhood. So in God sometimes, like, you know, I love Kyle. And, you know, like, also it was great meeting Jason, great guy. And then, you know, like, even with Luke, maybe on Winter House you don't see much about it, but, you know, like, over the summer, like, over the last few months, we became closer. And, you know, it was, I'm really happy that we became friends.
That's good. See, reality TV brings the people together. Sometimes it doesn't, but for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also a pretty chill person. I don't really, like, love the drama that much, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I'm also, I feel like, pretty easy to get along with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to see, like, the good side of people and, you know, enjoy every moment that I can with them and, you know, try to have a good time. I don't think, sometimes I think there's not too much time for drama, for fighting. It's that nice to, you know, laugh together, having a good time, like, having, like, you know, meaningful conversation and, you know, make good memories.
Totally. And I think, I mean, you got off to a very quick start making some good memories in the hot tub.
I definitely made some really good memories in Vermont. And as I'm, like, you know, some of my friends that make fun, you know, like, even, you know, I got the chance to hang out with Carr from Summer House and stuff. Like, they always make fun of me because they say, I like to make beautiful memories. It's all about making beautiful memories. So Carl always pointed out, and every time I see him, I'm like, bro, let's do some beautiful memories together.
Or as Carl says, more life.
More, yes,
more life.
Absolutely. More life.
I like that. The beautiful memories. Yeah. It's like a good excuse to do, to, you know, have fun experiences.
Yes, absolutely.
So you mentioned you have some experience in reality TV, but how did that experience differ from being on Winter House?
It was completely different because, first of all, like, there were contests, and then also, like, you know, you're live 24/7. So I feel like you can give a better perception to people about yourself. And it's also, like, more intense because you're always, like, you know, you – it's more intense being live 24/7, especially for a long arch of time because, you know, in my situation, it was, like, over 3 months. And no contact with the outside world.
I guess 17 days is not too much when you've been in the Big Brother house.
No, and plus it was, like, a completely different, you know, vibe. You know, you don't have also the stress, you know, like – people there, they're so overwhelmed by the situation that they fight over, like, a cup of coffee. You know what I mean? Instead, yes, people were fighting about rooms, which for me is kind of hilarious. But
they fight about coffee, but you bring people the coffee.
Yes, I was bringing the people coffee. Actually, it wasn't actually. They were fighting about eggs. Like, because somebody hates more eggs than somebody else. Because, you know, you're on a budget there. So, like, you know, people are really, like... But for me, it was like, listen, guys, we're here for a short time of time. Yes, it's 3 months the most, but, you know, you don't have to fight for, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, some people still love to fight about the little things. One time when the pandemic hit, people were fighting about cookies. And that was like,
what is there to fight about?
Just, like, enjoy.
Eat it. Just
because,
eat it.
because some people, like, one person was like, she was allergic to gluten. So she had her own cookies, and somebody else that wasn't allergic stole her cookies.
Oh,
stuff
that's
like that.
Not that's nice, tough. Actually. Gotta, yeah.
It's not nice at all. But, you know,
not nice.
But, you know, the problem is, like, you don't even know what's going on. There was the pandemic hitting. They weren't giving us barely any updates. You know, you don't know, like, people are, like, what was going on in the world outside. So, you know, a lot of people thought that was disrespectful, and I understand that standpoint, you know. Even though it was not a nice gesture, like, you know, on a, but whatever.
So in Winter House, you were saying obviously that it was less stressful because there's not a contest element to it. Was there any, you know, tension over who was cleaning up after themselves, who was kind of being a good housemate? You know, did that come into play?
No, actually that was like surprising. We never got into that. I feel like at the end of the day, we were all like really like co-working. So when we knew that it was time to clean, we were just cleaning, you know, like I was mopping. I did a bunch of cleaning. Jason was doing, like, everybody was helping. So we never got into fights about that. We only knew that sometimes you got to do it because we can't leave, like, you know.
Right. See, it seems like a silly question, but we've seen it happen before where that actually does, the fights do exist because of
cleaning. Oh, really? I didn't know. Like, I haven't seen it. Like,
oh, yes.
I want them to put out, like, bonus scenes or something where it's just, like, Andrea mopping the kitchen and like Lindsay scrubbing the counter. Like, I would watch that.
You're gonna see some mopping tonight. You're gonna see some mopping.
I feel like with like TikTok and YouTube and stuff, people get into the weirdest things. Like, people would watch. Like, you could do a YouTube channel that's just videos of you cleaning. I would pay to watch that. Maybe no shirt.
I love cleaning. People say that I'm like really, you know, I like. In my room in Vermont, I didn't have a closet. Mm-hmm. And that was, so I had all the clothes all over on top of each other. And it was kind of painful to look at that, but whatever. You know that you're there for a vacation, so you kind of like go with the flow.
Right.
Getting into, we obviously want to talk about, you know, your little flirtation with Paige while you were on the show.
Yeah.
You were pretty clear, I feel like, watching the show, we knew that you weren't going to be like in a serious relationship. You know, you were talking to other people. Watching back the episode where you took her on the sleigh ride, all of that stuff, how did you feel about kind of the way that was handled? Because obviously, I don't think you were quite on the same page.
No pun intended.
To be honest with you, like, I feel like we're on the same page, but it's whatever. It's another story. The truth is, like, I got there, as I told you, I just got back to the United States. So, yes, like, I just got back to New York. I went straight to quarantine, so I didn't have the chance to see anyone, you know. And so I was chatting with people. It was the first time I was single in 2 years. But, you know, I knew, like, a lot of, like, girls in New York from back in the days. I've been here for 8 years. So, you know, I know a lot of people. And yes, I was excited. Like, you know, in my mind, I was like, oh, you know, once I go back to New York, I'm going to start going out and stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to see people. So I feel like it was normal at first that, you know, I was still talking to other people. I wasn't trying to play anyone. I really liked Paige, and she grew on me day after day. Like, you know, she has an amazing personality. She's really fun. You don't see it, but, you know, we were watching movies. We had a lot of, like, you know, conversation about little things, but, you know, like, a lot of, like, same taste and things and stuff. And, of course, I like it to take it easy. It was a vacation. It was like, you know, we are there with other 10 people, and it's hard to, like, okay, you know, we're boyfriend and girlfriend. We just met. You know, you need quality time. You need to get to know the person. You need, like, solo time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not only about, like, you know, that's why I also, sometimes people were asking me, so how do you feel? And, you know, I like it to mind my own business. I'm like, I'm single. I don't know. Like, I don't want to give you the details until I'm sure. That's how I am. That's how I am in the dating life. You know, I kind of respect my privacy in the relationship, and I want to be sure that I want to talk about the person I have in front once I really know about them. So I wasn't trying to play anyone. I was just taking it slow. And when I took her on a date, it wasn't because, like, you know, I felt guilty. It's just like, I would never go on a double date as a first date, to be honest with you. If it was a setup, it was a blind date, okay, maybe I could go with it. But honestly, for the person I am, I would never take a girl on a double date as the first date.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, Kyle invited Austin and Austin went along. And I think that was great because, you know, they had an amazing time. But in my mind, I was already planning to spend some time with Paige. And also, like, I wanted to do something unique because I was like, we're in Vermont. So, you know, like, what do they do around here that you can't do anywhere else or like you can't do in New York?
Yeah.
That's definitely why that was my my choice. The thing that I honestly kind of regret is like that I was kind of mysterious with all the other people. about my feelings for her, like how I felt, because, you know, you guys still have a lot to watch, mm-hmm. to be honest, like in general, like to know, because, but at the same time, you know, like, it's how I am. So I can't really change the fact that I like to be reserved. Of course, it looks bad because it can look bad because, you know, like your page, like, oh my gosh. But at the same time, like, I like it to keep it real. I like to right. be realistic. And, you know, I wasn't ready to say, oh my gosh, I met the girl and I'm going to marry her. Yeah. You know, like, she's the girl of my dreams.
Well, I think
like, I feel like yeah. kind of immature to say that also after a few days. I'm not saying the page was immature. Right. I'm saying about me, like, it would be, like, I'm not in high school anymore. Like, I like to give time to things, you know.
I think we've all done that, too, where it's, like, the situation is one thing, and then when you go back and talk to your friends about what happened, you're like, oh, my gosh, it was so exciting. Like, you know, what if he's my husband? Like, all of this stuff, even if you know that that's not really real.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe I don't know, like, maybe I'm wrong, but, like, with the girls, it's more, like, a common thing with me, like, honestly, when I care about someone, you know, like a lot of times people have boys chat, like, oh, what did you do? First base, like, you know, PJ 13, PJ 18. If it's somebody that like, I respect that too, you know, like, I don't want to go into details with that. Like, I think everybody got to have some privacy and a respect.
Right.
You know, like, I'm all about, you know, be like, taking time. I like to take time in things because, you know, if I gotta commit to something, I want to be 100% sure.
Yeah, I think that even watching you on the show, like first meeting you and now talking to you, you never seemed like an asshole on the show. But even talking to you now, like you really do seem like a nice person and you aren't taking advantage. Like you're really explaining and your thought process and the respect that you actually have for
I honestly, I feel like, you know, some quotes that are coming out and stuff, they sound douchey and, you know, I'm not happy about that because
you're really not.
I don't see myself as that.
I think obviously some people, when they go on TV, it's easy to like blame it on editing or whatever. But I think in general, if you're on the show for 17 days and you're being filmed, you know, around the clock, it's like, you're going to say, like, we just say a lot of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, you got to see the precise context that you say that stuff, to be honest with you. But, you know, like, nobody can be blamed. You know, I said certain stuff, so I got to take full responsibility mm-hmm. of that. You know, I got to go with it. But it's frustrating sometimes, you know. Now, that's why I was telling you it was a totally different thing being live 24/7. And, you know, it gets a little bit frustrating. I got to be honest with you. But, you know, stuff came out of my mouth. So I also feel responsible for that. And, you know, like, it's my fault too. So it's what it is. And if people want to think I'm a douche, let them think that I'm a douche. I don't consider myself a douche. So. But it's okay. I just, like, you know, the thing is, like, I don't think I was ever playing Paige. I was just taking it slow and take it easy because, you know, like, I believe in solo time, quality time with the person that you're attracted to. And, you know, you're on vacation. So I was honest saying, yes, I came here as a single guy and I'm going to get out as a single guy. But the truth is, like, I met a girl that day after day is growing on me, and I want to see that girl again, and I want to see, like, if there is a future or not.
Right. So,
I would have done that. So, sorry, and I'm going to finish this. I would have done that, like, you know, in Vermont, in Capri, in France, everywhere in the world if it was on vacation, you know? Like, I need meaningful time with a person.
Yes. So were you surprised that Paige and Craig ended up in a relationship?
I can't really answer this.
Okay.
Just because there's more, like, I can't.
I'm sure we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah. Hopefully,
We can debrief about the season.
So I know you said that you were kind of surprised at getting along with Austin and Craig so well. Who in the winter house have you, you know, stayed closest with you know, do you talk to the most?
So I honestly, I mean, Craig and Austin, definitely. You probably don't see as much, but we were always together. We laughed so much. Like, we had so much fun. And aww. Also, you know, we made so many jokes also because, you know, as I said, at first I was intimidated because they look like those like tough boy from the movies. And then they're two sweethearts, you know? But you know, I'm close to Sierra a lot. Also over the summer, like, you know, we saw each other a lot, you know, we hung out in New York. So I really enjoy my time with Sierra. And I don't know what I would say. Probably, like, still I would say, like, Austin and Craig. But I'm close to – I became friends with all of them. Like, as I said, I hung out with Kyle. Like, you know, it's a really good group of people. And I'm happy that I became friends with them.
That's great. I mean, I know we both are thoroughly enjoying the show. So that's good to know that actual friendships came out of it, too.
Yeah, and it's also funny that, you know, like, I know Gabby from a long time. You know, we used to see each other out all the time. We didn't see each other for a couple of years. And then now, all of a sudden, I'm still running through her everywhere. And, you know, it's always nice to see her. And, you know, I became good. Yeah, I also, you know, it's even Jason, you know, it's always nice to get together, to have dinner together, lunch. But, like, you know, like, Jason is a big fan of Italy, you know, like.
And I love the way you say Italy. Like, I love it. I love the way you say it.
who's not a big fan of Italy? I mean,
You know, now that the borders are open, hopefully we will be able, because we talk about it a lot, like with some of my friends, like hopefully we can have a trip there. Ooh. You know, like
Winterhouse season two, we're going to the Alps.
Oh, I wish. No, off season, but I definitely would love for them to visit me there. I think we would have a great time. You know?
Totally.
We talk with the boys, we talk with Jason.
Bring a camera or two.
Yeah, or us.
Yeah, we were like.
Bring us.
You guys are more than welcome to come. Like,
thank you know.
Perfect. Well, we'll book the flights, you book the house, and we'll meet you there in a couple months.
We do the Italian house.
Of course. Andrea, thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. I had such a great time. It was really nice to chat with you.
Yes.
And we can't wait to see the Winterhouse finale and everything else you have coming
up. Yeah, and see what else you're not allowed to tell us.
Let's see. I can't spoil her, but let's see. One step at a time. Always one step at a time.
Perfect. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening to this episode. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and just be cool.
Don't be all, like, uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Betches.